Hey, fellow traveler. Welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this.
I'll start sharing information that comes through, but what question do you think you'd like me to go in on and start with first?
Maybe what is my incarnation of this particular lifetime? Where's my, like, I guess, purpose? I'm here, right? What's the past informing of my future to best serve my spiritual good? You know, I mean, I don't believe that it's all going to be dandelions and unicorns. I don't think, I mean, maybe that'd be great from now on it makes that turn, but yeah. So, or I guess not even dandelions. They're like not even special, like, you know, roses, I guess.
Roses and unicorns.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do my process. Okay. So the first bit of information that's coming through is around several lives wherein you were a soldier. And some of those lives were, you know, by choice. And some of them were by not choice, I guess, like by being recruited or conscripted. So there's an element to you that is hardened because of that, an element to your soul. It's not really your soul. Like your soul isn't hardened. But when you come into a human experience, you kind of retain that. It's the callus to your energy field that's what got hardened. The one that's coming through the most clearly feels like it's longer ago than I would think. It feels like Roman times, but I don't really know. I know that we get bullshitted a lot about what our history is, but the things that I can see kind of suggest to me that, you know, it was a long time ago. And it feels like an area of the world that is kind of hot and arid, but also lush and beautiful. And it's part of a huge army. And I think that's what's like part of an empire. That's what suggests to me Roman times, but I wouldn't really know. But it feels like that life, you actually quite enjoyed it and you had a lot of freedom. You never got married. It was just the life of a soldier. And for whatever reason, I don't even feel any particular trauma. Like that was just a life that really resonates with the life that you're living for some reason right now. I think it's because even though you belonged to the army that you served, you also felt very much like your own man because the army was so big that you were kind of, as long as you did your job, you were doing your own thing otherwise. So there was a strong feeling of sovereignty and freedom within that structure. And what I'm getting is that in this life, you came in, like, it's important. It's an important part of your soul blueprint for this life to experience freedom, which is probably why before I pressed record, we were talking about the working and digging ditches and fueling the righteousness rage fire within. But it feels like the lives in which you were, and there's probably going to be one or two that want to come through specifically, in which you were drafted as a soldier, there's a rebelliousness in there in you that like wants to balance that out. I'm just going to tune into those ones that were drafted. And it's almost like your template.
Certainly.
Like you developed.
For I certainly have. I mean, I've always resonated. I almost joined the military. You know, there was that from an early age, military purpose service made sense. Almost easy. It would be easy to, it was easier. Like that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't for various reasons. And even re-explored it a couple, like 10 years ago, but I was older. But yeah. And people often think that because I'm the regiment nature of my life and, you know, the way I feel and operate the best is by some sort of a regiment or, you know, structure. People think that people that I don't know, you were in the military. I was like, oh no, you know,
well, you were just not
right. Exactly. Not in reality. Yeah, for sure.
And it feels like there was one that was probably recent where you were drafted. It doesn't feel like one of the world wars though. It's something different. Let me see. it still feels like a European, I don't know, maybe it was the First World War or something like that. Like if I don't know if there's some other ones that I am unaware of, or perhaps it had to do with the American Revolution, something like that. I don't know. It feels a little bit, it feels like in between those. I don't know what, if there's something I'm missing, or there was a smaller European war that I'm unaware of, or something like that, but where you were drafted and that soured you. And that's probably why you didn't end up joining the military in this life, even though it would have been easy for you. It's not so much that it's like a resentment. And that's where that, you know, when you're digging ditches and you're just pissed about it, it's that feeling of having your life force potential stolen from you in such a cavalier way, you know, like you're just a person and they just need you as a number, a body to, you know, shoot the enemy, whatever, be sacrificed in the name of the game that they're playing. And so in this life, it's like been really important for you to not, or to come back to that template of being your own man. And the artistic expression is part of that, but you could have almost chosen anything. We can explore why you chose art in particular, but it feels like it's templated according to that first life that I saw of like, I have structure, but within that I am my own man and I make my own decisions. Like operating by your own code, basically. That's what it feels like in that first life. You were operating by your own code, even though you were serving, you know, a larger army. It also feels like you probably, I think it is in your soul's nature to not partner up long-term. Like it's not really, it doesn't feel like a natural fit to you. It feels like you're a man unto yourself, and that is kind of your soul blueprint.
Yeah. I fight that. Because I see, I long for some sort of a partnership, but I don't understand how. I'm puzzled by how it all.
Yeah.
I'm puzzled by it. Like, seems like very well. Do find me attractive. You try, and it's like I don't understand. Like, or I don't understand why. You know, like whatever. Like, it doesn't. The numbers don't seem to add up most of the time. I get. Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't understand how I got into it. Yeah.
And it's not so much, it doesn't feel like, you know, for some people, it feels like it could be a trauma pattern, like they're trying to protect themselves or they just made themselves emotionally unavailable. But that's exactly how it feels, is that it's like beep, beep, boop, boop, boop. Like it's not computing, because it feels like in that might have been your first earth life. That might be why it was coming forward. I don't know. But it's so strong. That life was a good life. You enjoyed it. You actually lived a pretty long time. You fought in a lot of battles and you fought bravely and you lived through them and you felt strong in your body and strong in your mind, strong in your purpose. Like you just didn't ever wake up and question yourself. Like you just knew what you were doing. And you didn't even have strong relationships in particular with your fellow soldiers. You did, but your allegiance was like to your weapon. You know what I mean? Like you would sharpen your sword like it was your baby. Like you take care of it like it was your lover. And that really is the feeling that I get, is this like you are complete in yourself. So even if you have a longing for a relationship, it is like venturing into brand new territory. It doesn't feel like it's ever been your soul's natural impulse to partner up and find a soulmate. That doesn't mean you can't have it though. It just means that there's
it feels like it's been missing, but it feels like for me, it's been a process that all the answers are within. You are complete. You know what I mean? All of the, you know, and this is maybe over the last 10 or 15 years, but it's like, I don't need someone to complete. That's the, you know, kind of the human lie, or
yes,
the Western lie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I've been working on myself, just trying to be, and then, you know, but then it gets so wishy-washy when you connect with someone and you're like, you know, like, no, now I need them. It's like, and then, you know, you get abandoned or they break up, you know what I mean? And then you're just like, wait, I'm confused. I thought, and then you're like, you know, finding center, being like, oh, that's right. Like I was okay before this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be okay after. But that's what that tasted like, you know, like that's what that felt like. Oh, it was like kind of, you know what I mean? Like crazy. Yeah. Confusing. And I do think some of it, I mean, I have the abandonment stuff with male figures in this life through more or less probably death. I think that's some of the pattern that I follow, at least some of the attributes of people that are not available because, you know, my male figures weren't available really. So, and my mom probably not available either, you know, emotionally, just because of the way they were raised.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So then where do you want to go from here?
Well, maybe the, like leaning into that idea, like, well, why like arts and the arts, you know what I mean? Cause I do a broad variety of art, but I do like, you know, why that realm versus, you know, what being a banker or something, which is, it's, which I understand too, to a degree, like it seems like maddening, but you know, there's a lot easier ways to make money than being an artist.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Okay. So I'm seeing, it feels like Paris. It feels like there is a life and it was in Paris during the height of kind of the Parisian art scene. And I think you're male in a lot of your lives because that's all I've seen so far. And it feels like in this life, you were kind of like either an orphan or you were very poor or something where you just didn't, it afforded you freedom in so far as nobody had expectations on you. You didn't have, nobody cared about where your future went per se while you were young. And it feels like you befriended an older gentleman who kind of was a bit of a pedophile and groomed you for that purpose, but actually you had a really beautiful relationship because he actually really cared about you. And so it's kind of controversial to say this because you were like fairly young, but he was kind of in that cultured scene and introduced you to that scene. And you were just kind of his, like, it was a mix of relationships. It was like sort of parental, sort of romantic and sexual, crossing all kinds of boundaries. But the friends you made and it was an interesting and colorful time. It was an interesting, colorful life, quite a contrast to the lives that you had as a soldier. Although there was a lot of adventure in those lives, but this was a whole different thing. And it feels like your soul just, again, like got templated with that as like exploring expression, exploring self-expression, exploring doing something without having a direct, like useful purpose to it, which is kind of contrary to, you know, that soldier mentality or army mentality. So it feels like it's very much about, but again, it works for you, like art versus theater, for example, or even music. Your music could have worked. I don't know if you're musical as well, but art versus theater, for example, in theater, you rely on other people. In art, you can just do it yourself. You can be, you know, like working on your own body of work and you don't need to be. So it, again, it's a strong theme of identity. I'd be so interested to know like your birth chart and what kind of like what's in your first house. And if you have any strong Aries or anything like that, because it feels like identity, personal identity is really strong.
Can't remember. I mean, I have a bunch of friends of mine are astrologists and I always forget. I was like certain things I remember, but like when they talk to me, I'm like, well, that makes sense. And then it just like, just rolls off my back like a duck. Yeah. Yeah. I guess like, even like looping back to what we were just talking about before about relationship, like in this particular, I don't know do the records talk about a future or are they not? Are they? So where, like, kind of like where, I know that all of that because of free will is obviously malleable, but mm-hmm. Is there like, where does like at this particular time, where does it seem like the likeliest because I do like venturing into new areas creatively, artistically. Is there a speculative like relationship on the horizon, or some sort of success, or is it going to be? Because it feels like the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, take away the pandemic, but it's been pre-pandemic. It's just like, fuck, I'm like, this is hard. You know what I mean? Like doing what I'm doing is gratifying, but it's challenging. I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing until there's something else that's like, nope, that's it. But I'm, and I tend to be a guy that wants to see, and maybe it's the regiment nature of, kind of what we're talking about is like, I want to see a big, clear sign. Right. Like I don't, and I, or even part of that callous nature of the callousness. Like I don't, like sometimes I don't know if I know that I feel things, but it's very challenging for me to understand what those feelings are. Mm-hmm. I feel discomfort more than anything, which is not like pain, but just like, ooh, I'm uncomfortable, and whereas I used to maybe, just want to feel joy and euphoric all the time. Now I'm just like sitting still and all that, just is what it is.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. And okay. So I think it is part of that. Although I'll go in and explore specifically, but when you were talking, it felt like, it does, that sense of trying to name what you're feeling does connect with all that experience as a soldier. Cause it's just like, override your feelings, override your somatic, like physical body feelings, and override your emotional feelings. And so then there's, a sort of a tendency to being a little disconnected from it, hard to figure it out. So, okay. So you're kind of wanting to feel into the future and what trajectory on sort of relationship and work and like purpose kind of.
Yeah, relationship.
Your purpose.
Yeah. For this life. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So work comes up first, and it feels like there is the first thing that comes through is move towards the creation of NFTs through the physical art that you make. I don't know. Have you already started that process?
Yeah.
It feels like that's the direction that works for you. So it's like creating physical art and digitizing it, or making it a commodity through the digitization. But if NFTs is coming through pretty clearly. There is something in there's. I don't know if you feel like you haven't created yet your like signature body of work. Or anything, if you're still searching for it, it feels like it's coming. It's coming pretty soon. It's going to be in response to something that happens in your life. There's some things that have to fall into place that give you the muse that you need to create sort of the body of work that makes you feel like, I finally got it. Like, I got it. I got the thing that I've been, I've been trying for, but not knowing I was trying for this whole time. Do you have somebody in your past that you kind of, you still think about, somebody that you had a relationship with and it didn't work out and you still kind of wonder about it?
I have a couple of them, but the specification of an actual relationship is I've had a tendency to just build up relationships when they haven't been one, but I was in one recently, well, a couple, like a year ago, but I think that one seemed like it probably was not supposed to be. But there was another one that, that was a friendship that I've had a couple of those, a couple of friendships that haven't ever, taken form to the next level.
It feels like there's somebody she still kind of preoccupies your thoughts. Like you wonder about her or you think about her, not like obsessively or anything like that, but she's still kind of cycling around in there a little bit. And it feels like one that stands out over the others a little bit more, like you feel it in your heart more. When you think about this person,
there's two that come to mind, but I don't know which one. One's reaches further back than the other.
I'm seeing somebody who's she's kind of, her energy was mostly gentle, but she also had a quality of not taking any shit past a certain point. But she wasn't really like one. She wasn't a fiery person. Her boundaries would come up in response to somebody provoking her boundaries. So she wasn't a pushover, but she had a gentle overall kind of energy, just like nice, And it almost looks like her hair was straight, kind of like medium length. She didn't have any bangs. It was parted a little off center, maybe like a light brown or something like that. I don't know if that rings a bell at all. Does that help clarify who I'm talking about? Okay.
Maybe, but I don't want to get.
Yeah. And you liked her, but you didn't ever really tell her that you liked her, and she didn't seem like to tell you that she liked you. And so you didn't know if she liked you, and you didn't say anything, and then it just sort of never went anywhere.
Well, then, yeah. I mean, depending on who we're talking with, I mean, one was more, you know, ended up getting more specific at the end, and that was kind of just what stopped it. And the other one, yeah. So that fits the template of like kind of the first person, you know, after a while, it just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why this person's coming forward, because it doesn't necessarily feel like you're going to end up, you know, with that person, but it seems important, almost like that the essence of what you felt for that person is what you're going to feel. You'll have another opportunity. What it feels like is that you could go this whole life without partnering up, and it's really your choice. You have to choose it, because it isn't your natural setting. So you have to really actively choose it. And I think the reason that's coming up is because there is a quality about how you felt about her. So rather than it being her in particular, or it could even be both, it doesn't really matter. The guidance that's coming through is that there's a quality of how you felt that needs to be your guiding force. And when you feel that again, it's choosing to let her know and kind of put it all out on the line. And don't worry about being awkward. You know, don't worry about the right timing. What's the worst thing you're going to do is scare her off, and it doesn't matter. Like, then, you know, it is what it is. And like you said, you were fine before and you'll be fine after. It's more an exercise for you in your soul in this experience to, yeah, sort of acknowledge that callus that you have built up. It's almost like, when I say callus, what I mean is like, you know, sun-browned skin, like rather the skin on your butt cheeks that never gets touched by the sun, right? So it's just that. It's like you have a quality around you that's a little bit harder, tougher. It's a strong sense of the delineation between yourself and the other. And so it makes it hard for you to connect in a really organic and romantic way. And it's kind of acknowledging that that's just a quality that you have, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not the sign of any kind of dysfunction on your part, or like that you're emotionally closed off, or I don't know, like whatever you might have heard or had other people project onto you. It just is how you are. It just is how you are. And then so offering up your perspective of things, meaning like your feelings that you feel towards this next person who's coming in, just letting her know in a way that you're just letting her know. And you are letting her choose what she wants to do with that, if she, you know, reciprocates or not. But I think the reason that it's coming up is because you could choose to go the same way that you did way back when with that first person, of just never saying anything. And so you have to choose and not wait for her to say anything, and not wait for her to make it really clear that she, you know, has feelings for you. You just have to present it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, be more direct rather than passive.
Yeah, it's like I can feel there's a little bit of...
Emotionally speaking, not, yeah, like just emotionally.
Yeah.
Because that has definitely been, that's been my pattern probably in the past. Well, it has been, just like afraid to expose, you know, my heart out of fear or just being hurt. And then having circumstance in life take place and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So it feels like there's something else there. Let me see. Yeah, you have the energy of a man that's been a bachelor for a long time in many lives. And so there's a little bit of like a, well, like, I don't even, like, how would I even share my space? Like, what does it mean to share our lives? Like, understand what that means. And so that holds you back a lot, because there's also the fear. It's not just the fear in the moment of being rejected or finding out like, oh, she didn't actually, you know, feel the same way. But it's also the fear of like, well, then I have to, like, then what? Like, what if she does? And then what? Then what? How do we meld our lives? Like, I'm just, you know, doing my art thing, hold up in my cape. Like, where do you fit? Do I give you a drawer? Like, when do I give you a key? It's all that kind of weird stuff I can sort of feel built up back there behind that initial, like, there's so many reasons that you might choose to not tell her. And it's okay if you don't. That's the whole point, is that you could choose either way. But if you desire a relationship, you have to be forthcoming and be willing to navigate all of that awkwardness and know that it'll be fine. And it feels like there is a woman, maybe the description I was giving might be the woman that I see coming. Like, yeah, she has like medium brown hair, and it feels straight and it's parted off to the side. She doesn't have any bangs, and she's a little bit, well, she's lovely. Anyway, she's lovely and she's nice. And the important part, I think it is somebody from the future that I'm seeing. The important part is that she won't take any shit. Like, she's not going to be walked all over, but she's got a lot of gentleness and a lot of patience. She's not a pushover. And she's also totally comfortable being single. And so I think that's why, what I'm feeling is like, you just have to say something. If you want it, you have to say something, because she also doesn't need to be in partnership to feel okay. And so she might also not readily recognize her feeling or feel them urgently. So you might not ever, at least with this person I'm seeing, you might not feel this like flaming hot passion, but it's kind of better that way. It allows for the flexibility, and it feels like your kind of like soldier-like rigidity with the way that you structure your own life, she'll be able to accommodate for it. It won't bother her. It'll, she'll think it's kind of quirky and charming and cute.
You gotta do what? Right. Every morning, eat the same thing every night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yes, I am very regimented. Is there, I don't know if this is part of like what happens with the in Akashic, but is there, you know, is there anything that, whether it's from ancestors or people that I've known in this particular incarnation, that are like, this is what you need to be looking at, or any kind of, you know, messages or information, be like, dude, you keep just stumbling over the same thing, you know, which is probably, I mean, I feel like that's, you know, it all changes, you know what I mean? But it's all the same thing. We, you know, it's just decorated or as, in a different form. But yeah, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Okay. Well, I mean, it depends on the context really, because it feels like you're actually doing really well in this life with the attention that you had for yourself as a soul. And so I'm not really getting, like, I can see where you have certain patterns, and it does have so much to do with that kind of regimentedness and the way it affects relationships beyond romantic relationships as well. But it's not really, it's not a problem. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's coming forward and saying, you need to fix that. It's more just apparent that this quality creates those results. And like, you did a lot of processing through your lit up youth and your younger years of party days and glory days. But it feels like you did a lot of processing. Like, I don't really feel buried trauma that you're unwilling to look at. You're just very matter of fact about a lot of things. Like, you don't, it's from all of that training on in all those lifetimes. It's not a disassociative thing where you don't acknowledge the hard things you've been through. It's just that you developed this, yeah, like, soldier mentality of like, keep going. It's like, it is what it is. So you have like a pragmatism that serves you. I don't feel you going off in the weeds anywhere. I really don't. And nobody's stepping forward to say like, you need to stop this habit or that habit. They're all sort of just micro choices. Like on the big things you're doing, you're on the right path, so to speak.
Right. Okay. I mean, I feel that way. It just feels like, I mean, part of me just, I guess, selfishly wants the little things to fall into place to make it easier. Well, income's not a problem anymore, because you know what I mean? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, not that I understood, like, would understand how it is to like languish and just like play video games. And you know what I mean? Like, you know, kind of like retire. I don't know what that really, I you know what I mean? Like, but to have things not, you know, to not live in that, like, you know, the pressure, the cooker of, you know, I've heard you talk about too, like making, you know, making ends meet once a month or mm-hmm. periodically, which I think is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, I mean, that kind of changes the question, right? It's like, so rather than it being like a general or any ancestors or anyone coming through and being like, do this, then
how do you, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you fine tune sort of your life for the purposes of what's the objective? Is it like financial stability, do you think?
I think some financial I think some financial more than stability, some freedom to be able to pursue and to be involved in things that I find, to be able to help in the ways that I help now, you know what I mean, which comes with financial freedom, I think, to a degree.
Okay. So this is important, like, when can you get a little specific about it, like what does financial freedom look like or feel like to you? Is it just the comfort of knowing that you've made your bills and then you still have wiggle room? Or is it like, what is the objective?
Complete freedom, I think. And not like billionaire freedom, but just like freedom to move about life without like, oh shit, like I crunch these bills and figure out what's going to happen. You know, billionaire life would be good too, but it seems like unrealistic in a way to, not unrealistic, but just like, it's, I guess part of my, I wrestle with that like Western culture of like greed or just like greedy little child, which is kind of where I've come from. Like work as much as I can, like that shift's mine. And if I give that shift away, it's to some, you know what I mean? It's a weird thing that I've worked through a lot already, like living in financial fear and scarcity. Yeah. Not from that place, but abundance, like living in abundance, like, oh, it's just going to, it'll refill, that cup refills itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I keep staying in good orderly direction, it refills itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Because my relationship with money was, if you did good, you got money. And, you know, I resented that for a while. I used to think that money was a root of evil, but I don't think that's true. I think it's an energy, you know what I mean? So what am I bringing to it versus like the punitive nature that I was gifted? Like love is money. So if I love you, I give you money.
Right.
If I don't, I don't give you money. You know, right. That's kind of where I come from.
Yes. Like the conditional. So, okay. So energy is money. Money is energy. And there's two things that are happening here. So there's an overlay of like the concept of money where what you're fighting against is the things that you know aren't true, but you also aren't 100% certain that they're not true. Like you haven't proven it to yourself yet, right? So like money is the root of all evil. And like, if you want money, then you're greedy. And that like, you shouldn't want to be a billionaire, or you shouldn't want to use money to party or things like that, because that says something about your character. And that, you know, like money is a reward for hard work and good behavior and being lovable and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, those things aren't true, but you have.
Right. Or people that get all the money are just complete assholes. And I don't know if I want to be an ass. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have many of the archetype of people that are making a lot of money. They're doing great things. Like, we just don't see that much of that.
That's right.
We don't
see them. They definitely exist.
Right. But right. They don't, because they're not frontward facing. They don't feel the need to let everybody know.
Exactly. Right. They're not building dick rockets to Mars or whatever. Yeah. So. Okay. So on one hand, you're interacting with that and you're calling it money, but actually all that is lies. So you're interacting with these, like a bundle of concepts that are untrue. And, but you're calling it money. So it's kind of fucking up your relationship with money. And then on the
whole paradigm,
the energy that money actually is the, all you're asking for by the sounds of it to me is you're asking to be able to exist without struggling. I'm like, enjoy your life.
Yeah. To be able to travel and like
share money with people, buy
exactly
money, do things
for sure. Yeah.
The world. So
the world and share myself in that way of whether it's art, because that's kind of what I like, you know, art, creation, story, like those are things that speak to me.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing is to really cultivate and then embody the belief that you get to move through the world in that way. And that isn't conditional, that there's no reason that we all can't do that, except that people who hoard money have applied all these false concepts to it so that we all feel like we're struggling and fighting over crumbs. But they aren't God, and God says we all get to be here and do our thing. So it's like leaning into that, because the programming runs really deep. Like all the shit we ever heard our parents say, you know, about money and hard work and things like that, but none of that's true. If that were true, the hardest working people would be the richest. That is not the case. Not even close.
No, there's a lot of people that I see daily that I'm like, it's not, life is not fair for sure.
Yeah. And that paradigm is false. So right there, it's like massaging yourself in the direction of believing that you are entitled to move comfortably through the world and just by virtue of being alive. Like, would you agree that it's enough hard work to be a human on earth without working to earn your,
especially awake? I would imagine, like, the idea makes so much more sense to me that ignorance can be bliss, right? If you just have no idea about anybody except just breaking rocks and you have no awareness, it's like, oh, like that is an easy task. Like break rocks and get bread, break rocks and get bread. But once you begin to open your eyes or open your heart, open your awareness to like, oh, this is different. Like you have choices. Choices are terrifying. Becoming aware of, you know, as you know, the playing field is wide open. That's where the conflict for, I think, me at least, I mean, rubbing up against old beliefs that I'm like, oh, who taught me that? Who told me that? Where did I inherit that? Mm-hmm. How do I get rid of that? And then get like setting aside and 2 days later, understanding that like, wait, how did I get this back in my hand? Like,
Don't have to put it down. You just have to build up the belief. So the way I see it is like there's two fires. There's the bonfire of all the bullshit we ever learned, and there's the bonfire of truth. And you just stop feeding that one. You don't have to put it out. You just stop feeding it, and you just put all your fuel on the bonfire of the truth, which is, you know, you are allowed to exist, and you are allowed to exist without struggling to like feed yourself and shelter yourself and pay your stupid taxes, aka extortion, and like, you know, all that stuff, right? So I still am really seeing it does feel like art. Like you don't have to move out of pursuing art. It feels, again, I'm just going to reiterate because it's really coming through clearly, like NFTs, creating NFTs with your, like if you need to partner with somebody or something like that, I see that you have a really beautiful ability, like with your body of work, and it'll be whatever it is. So I'm not trying to tell you what it's going to be, but the parts of it that I'm seeing are like, you're able to tell the story of archetypal energies through pop culture, but it's less so current pop culture. And it's more kind of like retro pop culture from like your youth. So like different, it almost feels like It involves more imagery than, for example, the ones that I can see in the background. So it's almost like that. It's got that flavor, but it's got a collagey kind of element. Almost like I'm seeing like pictures of different celebrities or different iconic moments or events or whatever, but you're not telling the historical story of that time period as much as you are telling a story about archetypal energies expressing through the use of cultural symbolism and imagery that you're familiar with. I know that's kind of vague and like art school bullshit, but that's how it looks to me. Like I can see this whole coherent narrative through a whole body of paintings, and it allows certain people to be like, oh, like I get that piece because they can connect with, like, for some reason, I'm really seeing Eddie Murphy's face on, like, you find, I don't know if you directly collage or you create a collage and then you paint the collage onto the canvas.
No, I don't do collages, but I do, I mean, I do a lot of layers. That might be what you're, I do a lot of layers. So it's not collages per se, but I do tons of layers, like very thick, palpable texture. You see how, that's just new. See all the texture you see the texture in the piece?
Yeah.
So that's, there's pieces. These are all, none of these are, let's see.
Okay. It actually I love your art. That's beautiful. It feels like it's got some imagery in it, kind of like the ones that you just showed me. Like there's pieces of imagery, but they are not, it's not meant to be, it's not carrying the direct meaning. It's a, I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels like you're going to hit this thing and you're going to be like, yes, that's what I was, this is the feeling of flow that I've been working on for so long. And I found it. And it feels like NFTs are going to yield for you as well as some kind of investment. And I'm wondering if it's a crypto investment because it doesn't feel like a stock market investment. I almost actually think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know your situation. I don't even know if you have like capital to invest in something, but it feels like it almost feels like somebody's bar or somebody's restaurant or something like that. And it feels like a good investment that yields returns. There's a little bit of a diversification, but it also feels like this period of struggle is going to come to an end. Like there is going to be this sort of bounce up where you hit the stride that you've been looking for, that you've been working towards.
You know, I have some things coming up, so we'll see how they shake out.
Yeah.
I have a thing. I have a one person show, art show that I've been working on. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any final question for me?
I guess with the, is there anything along the same line as like people passing? Is there any message that anybody wants that not even that would like move it forward, but just something that would maybe kind of settle some things for me? I don't know if that makes sense. Is there any message from any past life or anybody that I might have known now that kind of resonate?
I don't know. Again, it's coming back to that same topic. It feels like you're going to come into some money that's going to change some things for you. Like there's an upwards bounce that's coming, and to just work in the meantime on dropping any sort of like, I think it's your guide that is saying like, drop the starving artist trope. Like you just like, let it go. Just release it. It doesn't have to apply to you and it doesn't have to apply to you anymore. And yet they're really, again, they're saying that none of this is an indication that you're doing something wrong. Like this sort of period of like, like a grind is not an indication that you're doing anything wrong. It's just you showing up and staying with it even when it's feels like it's not working. Do you know what I mean? Like you're not a fair weather soul. And it's applicable to your whole life. It's the art that you're doing, but it's also just like if you feel like you've kind of been in a bit of a rut. They're just saying like, it's not going to last forever and you're doing what you need to do. It's going to break.
Perfect. Okay. I feel that. I just okay, this thing worked. Just give me a time. But that's how I feel about it. I felt that way for a long time about a lot of things. So that makes sense to me. So
yeah.
Excellent.
You do a good job. You're a very unique, you got a unique soul makeup. I gotta say that.
It's not the first time I've heard that. I feel a bit out of time at times, like a man out of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. I'm really grateful. I really appreciate doing this.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for putting your name in the list to be on the podcast as an Akashic Reading.
I'm totally very grateful to have been a part of this.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And it was really a pleasure to connect with you today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you so much for being here with me on this episode. I appreciate you more than my words could ever say. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share, and I will catch you on the next episode.